Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. For the remainder of this first hour of the program on this Monday, November the 1st, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We're going to talk about Abraham and Isaac. There are a lot of stories that could be told, but the one that must be told about this father and son is probably the most problematic story in the Old Testament. At least at first glance, it is the story of God commanding Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and everything that follows. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well, too. It's a great day.
Let's compare, begin with the where we really need to end, and that is comparing Isaac to Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, this story is nonsense unless it has its end in Christ's sacrifice.
Well, that's exactly right. There's a lot to compare here, and maybe there's a comparison that isn't always obvious at first. But you got to look at both Isaac and Christ, and recall that both were led first to a mountain to die. They both bore sacrificial wood from the place of their death. Christ on the cross, and Isaac with the pile of burning wood placed upon him. But in this, you see real connections. Only son of Abraham, only son of God, being asked to give up this son and all that means to a father. So definite connections there. But really, the real foreshadowing here isn't so much Isaac as it is the ram who becomes the substitute, who in the end gives Isaac back his life by giving his death, by becoming the sacrifice, by being put on that altar. And that's an interesting thing to consider. Because that's what Christ is for us. He becomes the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away our sins, who endures what we deserve in our place. That ram went in Isaac's place. And in that way, the ram foreshadows Christ and has a connection to him, just as Isaac, the only son of Abraham. You can draw lots of lines and parallels there, and foreshadows to Christ, the Son of God, who would die on the cross for all the sin of the world.
Tell us the story.
Oh, sure. This is a great story, and one that, you know, got to be taught in Sunday school. Some people are afraid to tell it because it's kind of graphic. You start out in the text that we've chosen to focus on, a little bit from Genesis 21 and the birth of Isaac, to recall the promise and the fact that this child was born to an elderly couple. He's circumcised. Obviously, this is a family of faith, and they're following the law of God, and we see that the reminder again that Sarah was old, should not have had a baby, but she did, and she sees this as coming from God. And then we get to the real heart of the matter, Genesis 22. And some years have gone on. We now have a grown enough son of Abraham who can walk alongside his father and converse with him. So who knows how many years have passed between them, but a number. And Abraham says, it says that God tested him, and Abraham answers, "Here am I." And God very clearly says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." He's letting him know he understands all this. go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Incredible words for God to speak to Abraham. And the text just goes on with it. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, takes two of his young men and his son Isaac, and he takes the wood for the burnt offering, and he arises and heads out to the place where God tells him. Pretty amazing. You don't see a few verses here about Abraham weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth or whining or complaining. He simply does what he's told, steps out in faith, and he gets to where he's supposed to go with his son along his side. He's got the wood. He takes also fire with him and a knife, and has the son carry the wood, just as Jesus carried the cross on his back on the way to Calvary. So that they're together, and finally the son speaks up. This is the first words we hear from Isaac in the Bible. He says, "My father," and Abraham says, "Here am I, my son." And he says, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" So Isaac, we know from this, is old enough to understand about sacrifices and to understand that an offering is going to happen. He sees what's going on, and he clearly sees something's missing. We don't have anything to sacrifice. And very inquisitive, as a young boy might be, he asks these questions, and Abraham says, in such calmness and full of faith, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And then it says they both went together. And they get to the place. Abraham builds the altar, lays the wood in order. Then he binds his son and lays him on the altar on top of the wood. And he's getting ready to slay him with the knife, to kill him, and holds up the knife, and the angel of the Lord, really God, as we understand that term, angel of the Lord, speaks to him, calls out, "Abraham, Abraham," and Abraham says, "Here am I," and the angel tells him, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Clearly God speaking to him, stopping all of this. And Abraham looks up, and there he sees a ram caught behind him in a thicket, and he goes and gets him and puts it as an offering. And then he names the place, "The Lord will provide." And that's the name that continues as Moses, who's writing this down for us in Scripture, God's used Moses to record this, understands this not as the place that Abraham showed his great faith or obeyed God, but as the place where the Lord will provide. That's the name it was given, and that's the name that God's people understood this place. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And then the angel calls to Abraham a second time and says, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son." And then he repeats the promise that he made all the way back in chapter 12. "I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring, the stars of the heaven and the sands that are on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." That's pointing to Christ, straight to Christ. And then he says, "Because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returns to his young men. They get up. They go to Beersheba, and that's where they continue to live. That's the story, 19 verses.
So what would you say? Did God ever intend that Abraham really, truly kill his son, put his son under the knife as a burnt sacrifice to him?
Wow, I don't know how I can answer that. We can speak to what the scripture tells us. God made this command of him and asked him to do this, and God stepped in at the last minute and stopped it. James tells us, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, speaks of this as all about testing Abraham's faith. and seeing if it gets to the first commandment. So God's testing him here to see, is this promised child that Abraham wanted so badly that God indeed gave him, has that become a god to him, or is God still God to Abraham, and does he understand Isaac, yes, his gift, but not his God? And I think that's what's going on here. What God intended, I don't know. Do you think we can say? He certainly intended to test him.
And that's all the text says, is it's intended to test him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who says, "How this is a really peculiar picture of God in the Old Testament, that he would require this kind of thing." In fact, someone might even say, wow, I can find passages where God explicitly forbids a human sacrifice. What's the best and simplest response to the kind of peculiar picture God portrays of himself in Genesis 22? About 30 seconds for a response.
Well, we simply have to take it as it is. We believe the word is true. We believe this isn't just a story. This really happened. And God is God, and he does what he does for a reason, always for our good, for Abraham's good, Isaac's good, and ultimately our own. He sees the whole picture. We don't. So when we say, oh, you're inconsistent, God, or you're being harsh here, or you're being unfair, or you're not being true to yourself, we really don't have the right or the ability to say something like that. God knows, God sees, and through it all, he blesses.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back another 10 minutes with her in the first hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 1st of November. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. More on Abraham and Isaac there on that mountain after this. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back. We're talking about Abraham's almost sacrifice of his son Isaac. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest from Concordia Publishing House. Pam, obviously this is a story that needs amazing explanation. I want to come back to something you said when you were telling us the story, and that is, in the end of the story, it is Abraham who apparently understands, at least in part, what God has been doing all along, in that he names the place, the Lord will provide. What do you pull out of that?
Well, it's another statement, really, of Abraham's faith, the faith that God has given him. But understanding that all of this really was God's doing, a test, yes, but also a great lesson for Abraham, that even though what he sees and what he hears and what he thinks he humanly understands just seems hopeless and unbelievable, and how could God do this? I mean, that's the human response. We don't see that here in the text, but we're all sitting there saying that in our hearts, if not out loud. How could God do this to him? It seems so harsh, so unloving. But Abraham gets it. He gets that God will provide. He will provide for all our needs. It's what we confess. And here is a man who God has given such faith to, who can state that. And understand that, and know that it wasn't about him or Isaac, but it was all about God and God providing for them, even when it looked like God was taking something from them, from him. It's really pretty amazing what we have here, and we can, you know, maybe... Probably God isn't asking us to put our kids on an altar and burn them up, but many times in life we're faced with these kind of paradoxes, or you can't imagine, how could I be in this, Lord? How could you allow this to happen? How could you ask this of me, or whatever the situation is? And God does provide, and he will provide. His promise didn't change. Abraham believed that original promise, that through this offspring would be blessings, not only for him, but all of his other offspring, and all tied to the promise of a Savior. He believed that. So in the face of what he could see, hear, and humanly understand, he clung to the promise. He clung to God's word. Beautiful, really. What a great lesson for us. And that's the thing we got to focus on here. It's so often I hear Sunday school teachers, parents of little children say, oh, I can't teach this. I can't teach this story to my little one, my three-year-old, my four-year-old. This is just too harsh, and this will make them think that God is mean, and, you know, how could God do something like this? And we tell them that God loves them, but he's going to have Abraham sacrifice his son. Tell them the whole story, because what's clear is that God didn't have him sacrifice his son. God stopped it, and God provided a ram. And the story is gospel. It's not the law. It's beautiful gospel that God steps in and loves Abraham and loves us and sees that his promise goes on. And it's really an incredible story about who God is and what he can do for us and what he does for us.
Well, Abraham apparently understood this, and we don't get this explanation until the book of Hebrews in the New Testament.
That's
where
right.
The writer there says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was tested, and then it said he believed that God was able to raise even the dead, expecting, if he had to go through with this, a resurrection of Isaac in order to keep the promise.
That's right. This is just amazing. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter about faith, and the writer there brings up all these fathers of the faith and how by faith they endured whatever was set before them. But this one, it really profound here, that he considered in verse 19 that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which he did, the writer says, figuratively speaking. That really does cap this and help us explain how Abraham could do this, could carry out what God asked him to do. It was all in faith, and it was in trusting in the promise and the resurrection and all of those things. And it is you know, Abraham's clearly a theologian of the cross, even though he didn't know how the cross would be involved, but he's not a theologian of glory. Okay, if this is what you want of me, Lord, this is what I shall do. One who believes always that God has his best in mind, his ultimate best, his eternal best, and is working all things together for his good, his eternal good. And sometimes in this life, that means that we have troubles and trials and problems, and we run up against brick walls, but they're never an eternal brick wall. It's always God does provide, and he provides our ultimate victory, our ultimate overcoming of all these things in the life eternal that he gives us because of his Son.
So let's make that connection one more time if we could, and that is God in time did do what he did not ultimately require even of Abraham. God himself did give his only begotten Son at the cross to a greater, an even greater end. Talk about that, Pam.
That's right, and teachers, you've got to talk about this. You've got to cap your lesson with this. You got to connect for the children that God sent his only Son, Jesus, to become one of us, to live among us, to suffer scorn and trouble in this world, and to die on the cross. He became the ram, the Lamb of God. He became the perfect, complete, and final sacrifice. This was the first sacrifice of a ram, and it goes all the way through many, many lambs and rams and doves and everything sacrificed throughout the Old Testament, all culminating in the final, complete one, the only Son of God sent from heaven, who became a man and died on the cross and paid for the sins for all of us so that we would not have to die, suffer and die in payment for our sins. And that death would have been an eternal death. Not only did he die, but he conquered death. He beat it, and he came back to life. And that, for us, means that when we die in this world, we are not dead. We are asleep in the Lord, and we will come back with new glorified bodies, and we will live forever in heaven with Jesus and with our Heavenly Father and with Abraham and Isaac.
Finally, with only 1 minute, Pam, does God test us today, and to what end?
Wow. I think he must test us. Or at least it seems like testing, and I think it always has to be understood that whatever God places before us, if it seems like a test, if it is a test, we can't maybe know at the time, but we got to cling to the promise. We've got to cling to the cross, to Christ, in the midst of whatever the test is, whatever the hardship is, the trial or tribulation that we suffer, though all around us it seems impossible and we wonder, how could God do this? How could he allow this? We've got to look to the cross and know that nothing has changed. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his Son to suffer and die for you, and that suffering and dying and rising again guarantees that God's love is eternal for you and that all of these things are working together for your good, for your eternal good. And that's how we have to look at it, not so we feel better about it, but because it's true. That's really how it is.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School, Youth, and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH's Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ, a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday School curriculum, as you can tell by listening to each one of our weekly conversations with Pam. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, or give Concordia Publishing House a call. They are willing to send you free samples of Growing in Christ so you can also see for yourself. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Growing in Christ. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Have a great week.
It's remarkable that God would do this with Abraham. And of course, the heading you'll find in the Bible is always going to be God tested Abraham. That's true. God did test Abraham. But what ends up in the end being proven even more than Abraham's faith and therefore Abraham's willingness to obey? What ends up being proven in this test? God himself. God's faithfulness is shown in higher relief when he is done testing Abraham. God's willingness to provide when man cannot provide anything that suffices before God. God's promise is proven. And you know, this is the same when God tests us today. It feels like he's testing us, but in the end, it's always he who is proven faithful and worthy of our trust. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, November the 1st, next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.